morning, everybody. Welcome back to Next. Great to see all of you after our extended summer hiatus. I'm glad you could join us today and see a few new faces out there. Looking forward to meeting you if I haven't already. But we appreciate you being with us here in Next today. Podcasters, welcome. We appreciate you listening in today. And we hope that all of you are encouraged and inspired by what you hear today, but we also hope that somewhere in there you are challenged and motivated as well. Julia, thank you for the biscuits and gravy. If you want to know what heaven's going to be like, just slide in there and get you a little taste of that good stuff. We appreciate that. All of you people doing keto, we understand. You get a pass. But the rest of you use this excuse, like, I just ate. Well, I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? It's biscuits and gravy. So I want to share something with you before we get into our lesson today. And this is just to give you a little bit more insight into my strange sense of humor. I don't know that anybody else in this room will think this is funny, but it really cracks me up. So a horse walks into a bar. That's how you start off Sunday school, right? Horse walks into a bar and orders a beer, and the barkeep says, "You're in here pretty often. Do you think you might be an alcoholic?" And the horse replies, "I don't think I am," and vanishes from existence. See, the joke is about the philosopher Descartes' famous philosophy of, "I think, therefore I am." But to explain that part before the rest of the joke would be putting Descartes before the horse. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes. Got at least one boo on my joke. So let's talk about where we're headed today. And today is going to be relatively brief, really more of a devotion than a lesson today. But I want to talk to you about where we're headed today and over the next several weeks. And I want to give credit, first of all, to a guy named Chris Emerson and his Excel Still More podcast. Thank you, Aaron Duran, for turning me on to that. Good bit of what you're going to hear today came from a podcast that he did. But I want you to think of this today as a seed for the series that's coming over the next several weeks. Next week, we're going to launch a new series called Obstacles. And we're going to take a few weeks to ramp up into the book, The Proving Ground, by Kevin Gerald. That name might sound familiar to you. Kevin Gerald's the same guy that wrote Mind Monsters. If you're inclined to read it, I recommend it. But if you don't feel like reading it, just hang with us here and next, and you'll get most of it. Now, today, I want us to talk a little bit about money. More specifically, let's talk about your $7 billion. Brian, this has nothing to do with the guy that pressure washed my house yesterday, who is a little out there. What would you do with $7 billion? Now, we're going to get some responses here in just a minute. That is a... For most of us in this room, that is a huge amount of money, almost an inconceivable amount of money. And I'd like to hear how some of you would spend that. But I want to put it in perspective first. Do you know how long it would take you to count to 1 billion? Obviously, it depends on how fast you can count. But let's suppose for the sake of argument that you could count on average one number every second. And that's really optimistic because you've got to consider that most of the numbers in the range from 1 to 1 billion are really long numbers. And it takes a long time to even think a number like 500,243,173. And then you got to do 500,243,174. So to say that you could do one every second, that's pretty optimistic. But let's keep it simple. One number every second from 1 to 1 billion would take you how many seconds? How many seconds would it take to count from 1 to 1 billion. It would take you 1 billion seconds. Yes. Or 16,666,666 minutes and 40 seconds. Or 277,777 hours, 46 minutes and 40 seconds. Or 11,574 days, 1 hour, 46 minutes and 40 seconds. Or 31 years, 251 days, 7 hours, 46 minutes and 40 seconds, if all you did was count. No sleeping, no eating, no bathroom breaks, just counting. 31 years, y'all. If you could count $1 for every second of your life, it would still take you 220 years to count $7 billion in ones. So it really is a lot of money. It's a stupid amount of money. I want you to think about the impact that that kind of money would have in your life. What would you do? What would you do? Would you quit your job tomorrow? Uh-huh, sure would. What about you? What would you do? What would you do? What would be first on your list? Come on, somebody. What would be first on your list? Just, oh, we got the spiritual ones in the group. Pay my tithes. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, what would you really do with $7 billion? What would you do? Buy an island. I like the sound of that. Travel. Where would you go? Wherever I want to go, right? What else would you do? $7 billion. What was it, Greg? Pay off all your debts. Would you give any to charity? Yeah? Give some to charity? What do you say? That's what tithes are for. Now we're getting to the real people in the room. We got, I would pay my tithes, or that's what. What else? Anything else you'd do with $7 billion? Buy a house. Who would start their own company? No, because that's just more work. Now hang with me for one more question, and this is really the key question of the day. What would you do if you had $7 billion in debt? Uh-oh. Didn't see that one coming. For the rest of our time together today, I'm not asking you what you would do if you had $7 billion in the bank and you're set for life and you don't have to work anymore and financial worries are a thing of the past. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, what if you were $7 billion in debt? What if you owed, I don't know, let's say the bank or the IRS, $7 billion? It's hard to even figure out how somebody could come to owe that much. I mean, maybe every mistake you ever made in your life was a financial one. Maybe your parents had made a whole lot of financial mistakes. Maybe somebody stole your identity and did a bunch of fraudulent things in your name, and now you're on the hook for it. Maybe all of those things together. It's just hard for me to imagine how somebody would come to be $7 billion in debt. But how would you deal with that, man? How would you even start? Would you be tempted to just give up? Chapter 11, baby, here I come. Start over. I mean, I can't even conceive of having that kind of weight on me. I know how I feel whenever I start talking about how much we have left to pay on the house and how much we have left to pay on vehicles and how much credit card debt we might have. I mean, I don't like to have that conversation. can't imagine $7 billion. It's just such a colossal amount of money. I mean, you don't go out and get a second job delivering pizzas, you know, to cover the spread between your real job and $7 billion. How would you deal with that? I was thinking this through, and, you know, maybe I could call the bank or I could call the IRS and see if I could get a, you know, like negotiate a reduction. You know, people do that all the time these days. They get a big bill from the hospital. They'll call the hospital. They'll be like, hey, I just got this bill. And what could you do for me if I gave you cash money today? What could we work out? So, you know, I'd call the bank or I'd call the IRS and say, so it looks like I owe you $7 billion. If I gave you cash, what could you do for me on that bill today? And what if I got a really nice person at the IRS and they said, Jason, we just love you down here. I mean, you're just a good guy and you go to work and you usually take care of your bills and you're a pillar of the community, man. We just really appreciate you. So we tell you what we're going to do. We're going to forgive 99% of your debt. That's pretty awesome. It's really nice. But I would still be on the hook for $70 million. Not even 99% forgiveness would get me out of this mess I'm in. I mean, I don't know about y'all. I just don't keep that kind of cash laying around. And what if the nice person at the IRS on the phone said, look, Jason, we love you so much. We like you so much. We're going to forgive 99.99% of your $7 billion debt. Just pay us cash right now, put it on a credit card, and it's done. I would still owe them $700,000, and I don't have it. And I probably never will have it. Sorry, Julia. But it's not going to happen. So now what? I can sell my house. I can sell my cars, which I don't even think I've got equity in those. Sell my clothes, sell my shoes, sell my guitars. And I still wouldn't be able to come up with enough to come out from under such a huge debt. Not even guys, at 99.99% forgiveness would I have enough. I don't even think that I could, like, put myself up for sale on the black market somewhere and get enough money to cover what I would owe. I mean, 45-year-old guy, somewhat out of shape. I mean, what's the going rate for that on the market these days? Sell myself into servitude, and it still wouldn't be enough. Now listen to me. The only way I could ever be free from that kind of debt is for it to be forgiven completely. And for me to not be responsible for even 0.01% of the debt that I owe. And y'all know where this is going? In Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35, Jesus is telling this story to his disciples. Now, context matters. And he's trying to get them to understand some things about offenses and forgiveness. Remember that word offenses. You're going to be hearing that a lot over the next few weeks. But he's trying to get them to understand something because Peter just asked. Peter's like, hey, Jesus, so I got one for you. You're talking about offenses. So if someone sins against me, how many times do I have to forgive them? Seven times? Now that's significant, right? Because the number seven, that's sacred in the Bible. Seven is a number of completeness. But the interesting thing is that in their Hebrew culture, there were many rabbis at that time that taught you must forgive someone three times if they sin against you. So Peter's like being super spiritual because he's taking the three. He's like, I'm not just going to do three. I'm going to do six plus one more. So, I mean, that's how spiritual I'm being, Jesus. That seven times, that should cover it, right? And Jesus is like, Not even close, Peter. Try 70 times 7. And here's why. So he's like, I'm going to tell you Boy Scouts a story. And so this is what he says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 and 24. We're going to read that in the King James, and then we'll look at the rest of it in the New Living Translation. It says in verse 23, therefore, this is Jesus talking, so this is red letters in your Bible. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Stop right there. 10,000 talents. Not $7 billion. 10,000 talents. Now, one talent, hang with me, one talent was equal to about 6,000 denarii. A denarii was a silver coin. It was common currency in the day. It was a silver coin. It weighed about 4 grams. And it was what a common laborer or a soldier would earn over the course of a day. So it was a day's wage for most people, one denarii. So one talent was equal to 6,000 denarii, or 6,000 days worth of wages, or about 16 years worth. One talent. 16 years worth of wages. But this guy didn't owe one talent. He didn't owe 100 talents. He owed 10,000 talents, or 160,000 years worth of wages. Jesus is talking stupid amounts of money. Way more than $7 billion. You do the math. What do you earn during a day? What's your daily wage? What's your yearly wage? How about that? What are you making a year? Run that out over 160,000 years. That's how much money Jesus is talking about here. That's how deep this guy was in debt. Now, let's finish the story. This one guy owes 10,000 talents. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I'll pay it all. Like, how, dude? How? It's 160,000 years worth of your daily wage. I mean, how are you going to do that? Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. And he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Look at the parallelism here. His fellow servant fell down before him, just like he had done with the king. Fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it. Just like what he had said. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Now, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Ooh, verse 35. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Wow. We're going to be talking a lot about offenses. I don't know if I mentioned that. We're going to be talking a lot about offenses over the next few weeks. I just want to make 2 points, and this is going to be really quick, and then we'll be done, and we can have more fruit and biscuits and gravy and coffee or whatever. But just 2 points. The first one is this. Guys, I have been forgiven so much. My sin debt, Troy, was so colossal, so insurmountable. So inconceivably huge. I could never work my way out of it. I couldn't work my way out of that. You could take everything I own and everything good I've ever done, and it wouldn't be enough to cover that kind of debt. not even 0.01% of it, I couldn't work myself out of it. And Jesus knew that. And so he said, you know what, Jason? We really love you around here. Tell you what, don't worry about any of it. Not 1 cent, because I'm going to pay all of it for you. So Jesus put on flesh, and he went to Calvary, and he shed blood that is so precious to cover a debt that he knew I could never pay, because he loved me that much. And Heather, he would rather spend eternity with me than spend it without me. So he said, I got it. I'm going to take care of it for you. I have been forgiven so much. That's point number one. Thank you, Jesus. But here's point number two. Since I have been forgiven so much, I really should do a better job of forgiving others. I really should do a better job of forgiving others. I don't know if I've mentioned this or not, but we're going to spend a lot of time over the next several weeks talking about offenses. Offenses are going to happen. Jesus even said it. They're coming. Offenses are going to happen. People are going to hurt you. People that are close to you are going to betray you. People are going to disappoint you. People are not going to meet your expectations. And sometimes people are just going to be nasty. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to be raw. And you're going to think about it whenever you wake up in the morning. And while you're trying to take a shower, you can't get it out of your mind. And whenever you go to bed at night, you keep rolling it over. And if you're like me, you're like, man, I wish I would have said that 3 weeks later. I come up with a perfect comeback. But it hurts. And you can't quit thinking about it. And you can't figure out a way to work around it. Offenses are going to happen. But you know what Jesus said? He said, whenever it comes to offenses, you've already been forgiven so much. And it was a debt that was way more substantial than anything anybody else could ever owe you. So when it comes to offenses, and when it comes to forgiveness, you really ought to consider your approach. What are you holding someone else accountable for whenever you've already been forgiven so much more? That's real life right there. So, you know, I stand here today and we're practically done, but I'm looking at a few of you. I know your stories. I know parts of your stories. I know some of the places that you've walked. I know that there have been some monstrous hurts done to some of the people in this room. And to stand up here and just say, well, you got to let it go, seems just a little empty. The only thing that's going to empower you to be able to let go of that hurt and move past it and embrace the freedom that Jesus wants you to have in your life is to remember how much he has forgiven you. And it may not happen in a moment. It may not happen in a second. It may take a lifetime to work it out. But folks, those of us that are offended today, we need to consider our approach and thank him for the forgiveness that he's given us. Let's pray, and we'll be done. Lord, there's just kind of a spirit, a feeling of heaviness that's in this room right now, and I really believe that there are some pretty raw hurts that are represented here today. And I may not know them all, but you know every detail of every hurt. And not only do you know it, but you know how to minister to it. So, Lord, we turn over our hearts to you today as much as we can, as best we know how. And we say thank you for forgiving us of such a colossal debt. Help us to move forward past the hurts that have been done to us. We need your help with that, Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We've been trying to do it on our own, and it's not working. So help us, Lord, to live in freedom from the hurt that comes from the offense. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. $7 billion. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I'm glad y'all are here today, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do throughout the rest of our time together today. Church next door, big church, as we call it, at 11 o'clock. But feel free to mingle, have some more coffee, grab some more biscuits and gravy. We'll see you next door in a few minutes. God bless.